Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, is Tell Del Tuesday. And we have a couple with us today that have been members for quite a while. In fact, Victoria's been working with us for some time. But Josh and Victoria came to Lifestyles, like most people, for the same reason. They were not happy with what was going on in their life. They had great life, kids, family, everything's good. They had jobs, money, no problems. Other than life, just being so busy, they couldn't get to do the stuff they wanted to do. So we're going to pick it up at that point. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Del.
So let's talk about that. Hey, nice-looking young couple. You got everything going for you. You got some babies. The world's moving along. And there's just that little thing. It's right under the surface, you know. It's like we're just not quite satisfied yet. Tell us about that. Let's be flies on the wall of your life of what was going on between the two of you saying, you know, what can we do? We're just not quite there yet.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I think at the time we were both working full time. I worked in big box retail as a general manager, and Josh was in energy company, and we were both working 60, 70 hours a week with three kids and, you know, juggling sports and band and life and dogs and kids. And we're just not taking time for ourselves. So when we decided that we wanted to jump in, it was really about just buying our time back, being able to spend time with our family and travel.
It's an amazing thing. My dad used to tell me, you don't own stuff, stuff owns you. You get all that stuff that life, everybody's, I mean, since you're a kid, you've been thriving and driving to get there. You got the family, you got the husband and wife that are happy. You get, and then boom, you realize, man, we're up hours and hours and hours and hours of work a week. And you try to break that down. How did you first start? It seems like you guys tried to do it on your own first. Did some real estate investing before you met up with us?
We did. I actually bought my first house at 19, and I've been doing real estate for over 20 years myself in different aspects, from buying and holding some, but flipping, wholesaling, just doing anything in the real estate world that actually I could, you know, turn in a decent profit on. But yeah, when we found Lifestyles, it kind of was a game changer for us.
So you were an entrepreneur already. They used to work better than that. Get a little old, the lips don't work that well in the morning. But as a full-blown entrepreneur, you guys were out there doing some stuff. When you were doing that, Josh, I'm just trying to direct this to you so that the people that are listening to the show and watching the show on podcast right now can relate. How did you see the work that you were doing as real estate? Did you see it as real estate investing, or did you see it as work?
I definitely saw it a little as both, but it was definitely work. So at the time, I was a firefighter medic. So you work 24 hours on and 48 off. So on my 2 days off, I basically concentrated on doing real estate, finding deals, fixing them up, selling them, kind of before all the flip this house shows and all that were around. I was doing it in Atlanta, which is where I'm from. So, you know, I definitely saw it as work, but I really enjoyed it. I've always had the entrepreneur mindset, and I had kind of an awakening, you know, as a young adult on what was possible with that I had never been surrounded by growing up ever. So I had somebody personally kind of introduce the concept to me, and it started with buying HUD homes back when you could buy HUD homes as an investor before, you know, owner occupied. So that's how I kind of began with that. It just, you know, kind of grew, read a lot of books, listened to a lot of tapes, you know, and said, bought and held some, fixed up and flipped some. And then it was only when I started getting a lot of deals sent to me, because I had the reputation of doing what I said I was going to do in closing, that I started wholesaling some. And it was really just kind of the extra deals that I didn't have time for. I would pass on to, you know, other people I knew that were looking. So I had some other investors that bought over 20 houses from me on wholesale deals. You know, they buy and make money, come back. So I had kind of a system down, but I'm very conservative in the numbers. And, I had my cookie cutter buy for this much at this, you know, LTV, if using hard money. And then this is what I knew that they would go for. I was buying in the same neighborhoods. You know, I'm very risk averse. So, you know, I had it down pretty well, just through trial and error over years. I mean, that was over a 10-year period where I was doing that.
Well, it sounds like you had a pretty good side hustle. You know, a lot of people pick that up, especially when you're like you're a firefighter or you're a cop or something. You know, you've got a locked in amount of pay that you're getting paid. There's really no way to expand that other than to have a side hustle. So that works out. Victoria, how did you fit into all this? When did you get involved?
Yeah, no, that everything that Josh was doing was Atlanta was before we had met. So when he moved to Texas, he had kind of had shifted gears and was more in a corporate world. So actually when we first met and he told me about what he had done at Atlanta, I always told him, I was like, wow, that sounds like a scam. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, she told me on our first date that it sounded like a scam, and I didn't know if there was going to be a second date, to be honest. What?
So it probably took like a good year or two he's always loved real estate. He talks about it all the time. So it took some time for me to really understand the concept, and the way that I grew up in my background just really did not have a good understanding of it. So we had a good friend that was involved with Lifestyles Unlimited and, had been talking to Josh because he worked with him. And at that point, I knew Josh was pretty like, I'm good to go. I've heard enough and seen what my friend has done. But he knew that I needed to be convinced. So we actually went to a seminar. And after the 2 days, I was like, that makes sense. So it took me a little bit to get there. But as you know, like I definitely drank the Kool-Aid. I mean, this is our livelihood. You know, apartments is our full-time gig, and I also work for the company. So
yeah, she definitely drank the Kool-Aid.
Well, you know, it really brings me to two points I've got to get out here for the listeners. And number one is back when I was 34 years old and I was retired, I would go around and date young ladies because I was single back then. And I would tell them I was a real estate investor, and they'd look me flat in the face and go, so you're unemployed?
Exactly.
It's pretty much what it comes down to, right? You know, it's like that. If you don't have to get up and go to work every day for a job, you're like a bum, man. What are you doing? Yeah. It's, you know, and then like you said, everything's a scam, and I'm glad that she thought that of you, because every woman thought I was a scam. Like, yeah, that sounds like a scam to me, right? So I get it. But then there's this one last thing about it, Josh, and it's called Rule 1437B-7 in the Book of Life. No one will ever believe a thing you say once they've seen you without your clothes on. So wives are no different. And I mean, hey, you know, I know you personally and intimately. You're not all that in a bag of chips. And it's really hard to get across to somebody, hey, I'm going to become something someday. I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm going to do something great. So it's glad that you got on board, Victoria, because you need that support if you're going to have a family. So when you first came here, Josh, Victoria, you were listening. We'll get opinion from each of you. Somebody's already in it, somebody wasn't. What was the aha moments of the 2 day? What did you pull out of there and go like, wow, that's the stuff I didn't have. You know, I was looking for some stuff. That's some stuff that I need.
I think when we joined, we had already started dealing some single family, but we were working really hard. So what we got out of the 2 day was that we could see the ability to shift gears and invest passively or become leads ourselves, and not have to, you know, show up to fix things or just do the work ourselves of what we were currently doing.
Okay. It's a good place to take a break. We'll be right back with Josh and Victoria Warren and the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Josh and Victoria Warren out of the New Brunswick area, and that's close to San Antonio, Austin area. For people that are not in Texas, don't know the great state of Texas locations, a beautiful place out there. And they've been with us now for quite some time, been a member, and they're doing all kinds of things. Right now they're doing apartment complexes. Let's talk about, we'll go back to the two-day again. When you came out of the two-day, Josh, I didn't hear what your aha moment was. I mean, I got Victoria's point of view from it. What was yours? I mean, you've been doing it for a long time. You're sitting there and you're hearing this stuff. Was there anything there that made sense?
My aha moment was really the explanation of forced appreciation on apartment buildings. That for me was the aha, because I had owned four IROs before joining LU, and I, you know, bought them, fixed them up, got them rented up, did it all, and never really understood. I had a basic understanding of forced appreciation and increasing the NOI, but the way it was broken down during the two-day was excellent. And it just put it in black and white, and this much raise of your NOI at this cap rate increases your value to this. It was my aha moment. It was like, I want to focus on apartments.
You said you had four IROs. What sizes were they?
216, a 32, and a 60.
Okay, so nice little properties. And I guess, you know, you did the same thing I did when I first started. You thought, hey, let me buy it. Let me fix it up. Let me get some cash flow. Let me make it better. And then for some magical reason, it's supposed to be worth more, right? But you never really understand that that number actually is a derivable, calculatable number if you actually know what you're doing. So that's a good first step for you. When you got into lifestyles, you came out of the two-day, what did you guys decide was the most relevant next step for you to take?
When we initially got out of the two-day, we were concentrating on passive investing because we were both still working a lot of hours. We needed the transition. So we were going to passively invest, and we were actually looking at finding an IRA in and around the area. That was the initial first steps afterwards. And we got into our first deal, I think our first passive deal within 3 or 4 months after the 2 day.
How many passive deals do you end up doing?
We only ended up doing 7 passive deals because we shifted our focus to becoming lead investors. So,
okay. So let's talk about that conversation. Honey, I can do this. I can do it better than they're doing it. Why aren't we doing it? Is that how the conversation starts?
More or less. When I saw the reports, and you know, you get to know a lot of leads and you get to know a lot of IROs, and yeah, absolutely, I was like, I did all this, but I did it the hard way, figuring it out myself with the ops consultants and the mentorship and the training and education. It was, to me, it was like, we should absolutely become leads, because I was doing it fairly successfully before with this kind of guidance and education. You know, the sky is the limit of what we can actually accomplish. So I was very excited about it after a while. It took, I think, about 2 years, because I was so, my corporate job was pretty intense. I had, you know, pretty high up in an energy company, and it was just nonstop. So it was difficult to find the time to kind of shift that mental focus, you know, away from total 70 plus hours a week. So,
you know, I was talking to a business owner the other day, and it was interesting because he was talking to me like, it was almost like he was crying. You can't find people to work hard anymore. You know, I remember when I was working, you know, we worked 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, and that was just base. They were expected, you know, more and blah, 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 blah. Where's the hard workers? I go, dude, you killed them all off. They're all dead.
Pretty much, yeah.
They're all leaving you to come do this stuff, I guess. I don't know, but no. Yeah, I have no empathy, no sympathy for you at all, and absolutely no empathy at all for what you're trying to do, which is kill people, wear them out, burn them out, whatever, you know. But that's the way business really is in many cases. These guys just are grinding and grinding and grinding. They've been taught that that's all they've known. The other thing I've never understood is that why is not enough never enough? Has your family ever figured out enough? It got to the point where you said, okay, hey, now we've got this. Let's quit that job. Did you guys, either one of you, quit your jobs?
We did as time went on, but it took several years. So it, for me, I was the first one to leave my job and concentrate on the lead activities full time. But it took about two and a half years before I was able to leave my job. And then it was just kind of, you know, on blind faith. I'm doing this. We have enough saved. We're just going to concentrate 100% on lead activities. And it worked out. So
what did that feel like?
For me, it felt great.
For me, it was scary.
Yeah, it felt great because, yeah, I knew we could do real estate, especially with Lifestyles Unlimited's guidance and support. I knew what it could do for our family as far as having more time for the family and whatnot. I knew all these things. I didn't have to be convinced. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was just a logical step. I need to focus all of my time and energy on this. I can no longer be torn in different directions. And we had a good opportunity to leave my job, and I took it. So, you know, we had a little bit of a cushion there as well, which helped.
So I've got to ask this question because it always is one of my favorite answers, is what did the people that you worked with in this high-pressure job think when you left? I mean, sounds like they might have given you a buyout. Were they trying to get rid of people at the time, or what?
They were not. I actually requested one, and surprisingly, after about 6 months, I had a very good, close relationship with the executive team, and they all knew basically what I was doing. Some of them were like, you know, good luck, you know. But one of them actually ended up joining, and is one of our passive investors, believe it or not. So it was kind of a mixed bag. But most of them knew me as kind of the business guy, the real estate guy. And that's how I operated my segment of the company. You know, like it was my own business. I put everything into it, you know, just like I do with, you know, our lead deals, like we do with our lead deals. So for the most part, everyone understood and was supportive. And I had the opportunity, which I don't know if they'd done before. I asked for it, and they gave me a buyout. So it was not during a downturn, and it was not, you know, it took 6 months to convince them, but they ended up doing it. So I'm very thankful for that.
That, my friend, is a great story, and I think we're going to take a break on that because I've never heard of somebody asking for a buyout and getting one. So we'll go ahead and take a short break. We'll be right back with Josh and Victoria Warren and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Working hard but still falling behind? Learn how real estate investing can help you build income and move forward with purpose. Text radio to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Presented by Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Josh and Victoria Warren out of San Antonio area, New Brunswick area, as they said, and what I was looking at here, guys, on your resume is that your properties are all on the East Coast. Explain to us how that happened.
Yeah. No, right. So when we started looking for our own IRO, even before becoming leads, I was looking heavily in and around the San Antonio market back in 2021. I wasn't seeing a lot of deals that actually made sense. There were some, but then we were, you know, outbid pretty heavily. So over the year, I started shifting focus. And we had a friend, and I've owned in Atlanta, Tennessee, Florida, Oklahoma before, and Texas. So I was not afraid to invest in different markets if the fundamentals actually made sense and I could scale, we could scale. So we started checking out different markets, and we kind of settled on the Midwest. And we made the agreement, you know, as a family that, you know, we're going to be heavily involved. So a lot of time away, a lot of time on site, a lot of time at the properties. And that's really what we found. We found deals that suited our criteria in the Cincinnati metro area. Really, it's Southern Ohio, Northern Kentucky, Cincinnati metro area, where we could find good cash flow. The insurance rates had not risen like in a lot of the areas in the country, and the taxes were down the line straight. So you didn't have to fight your property taxes every year. We could just concentrate on owning and operating the real estate. So that's kind of why we chose that area and chose to spend so much time away to focus in that area, just because I could not find many deals in and around where we lived, where I felt comfortable putting our money in, much less passive money in, which you have to protect even before your own. So.
Okay. And as going out there, did you find that the prices were different? Was the market different? Did you have to adapt?
We did. Prices were different. They weren't, the price per door was lower, but the rent gains, what I really like about that area is, I mean, the rental rates have risen. Even during all these Black Swan events, our rents have continued to go up. Our occupancy's still solid in the 90s. We've been affected like everywhere else in the country, but not as heavily as Texas and a lot of the coastal areas. So, you know, the cost of everything's gone up everywhere, you know, with inflation going through the roof. But our, you know, our insurance and our taxes have just been little steady climbs. And for me, especially as a steward of other people's money, you know, I want to know, you know, as well as you can know. I want to, you know, on a yearly basis, kind of know where my set costs are. That way we can concentrate on increasing the NOI where it matters, not spend up all of our time kind of spinning our wheels. So it's just a more stable market. You don't get the highs that you get in Texas. You don't get the extreme highs, but you also don't get the lows. So it's just kind of slow and steady. But it's, you know, we've been able to meet our performas, you know, in the last 4.5 years, 5 years. And we sold two of them during this down market, bought them during the down market, sold them during the down market, and still was able to meet on one, exceed our what we kind of projected. So that's what, you know, that's why I like that market.
So what is your long-term plan? How do you see this working out for you guys? You're still young. I don't see any gray hair amongst either of you, so you still got a lot of years left.
Yeah, it's there. It's there. The magic of video. Our long-term plan is to continue doing what we're doing. We don't want to have a ton of units. We have one apartment building now, 172 unit, and we're closing on one next week. That were leads on both, and maybe another one or two at the most in that area that we operate and just concentrate on the efficiencies and operating as well as we can. And we'll more than likely end up kind of moving closer to the property, so it's not so much travel. And a lot, you know, half of our family is in Georgia and back, you know, or it's east anyway. So after our, you know, son graduates from high school, you know, we'll kind of look at that transition of actually moving closer, because now I spend, you know, about 2 weeks out of every month in that area. So
And for us, I think it's been about, we have a conversation all the time of what is the number that we need to hit to feel comfortable. So it's not about, you know, how many apartments, how many units do we need? It's really just about what's the income that we want to continue living a comfortable lifestyle that makes sense for us.
That's right. So, and you want to grow, but not, we, neither one of us have any desire just to keep acquiring for the sake of acquiring. We want to acquire good, solid assets that we can kind of share, you know, with our passives. And you know, it's just make it win-win. And we're very good with just owning and operating, you know, several good quality assets. Don't really need more than that. So,
well, I did a show yesterday about a couple different ways to fail. One of them is never start. You know, that's an easy way to fail. Another one, though, is to never end. If you never get to that point where you go, wow, we did it, I'm happy. You're never happy because you're never there. You don't get to, I hit that point very early on in my life and I was like, okay, now what? It's kind of a, it's almost like a letdown. It's probably not the right words, chosen words, but you know, there is that, like this, okay, now what do I do, right? I hit the goal, I've set goals, I hit the goals, okay, now what do I do? Okay, well, should I make another goal and go after more? And it, at some point, I had just told myself, no, I'm not. I realized that money's got to go somewhere, so I got to put it into something, right? So I chose more and more passive deals. But I started doing weird things like going, okay, well, I have enough money now that I can go out and every weekend buy everybody drinks everywhere I go. And that was an interesting little game. It lasted for a couple months, and then all of a sudden, everybody was following me around like the Pied Piper. Where's Doug going this Friday? I go, you know what, this has got to stop, man. This has got to stop. So I'm just joking around, getting to the point that, you know, that happiness feels what it's all about. To be able to go, hey, that's the number. And so have you guys worked out your number?
As you said, our goals kind of, you know, you set goals and then you reach those goals and then you set further goals, like you said. So we, you know, for us, it's kind of shifted to maximizing what we have and spending as much time as we can with our kids while they're still around, while they still want to actually have maybe something to do with us, you know, before they go, you know, go out and do their own thing. So so that's our focus now. And when that happens,
I change again.
Well, I know I'll, you know, want to do more. It's like you, I always, for me, it's setting goals and accomplishing those goals and then setting higher goals. So absolutely. I mean, but for now, it's that the focus is really maximize what we have and concentrate on family at the same time.
The old cats in the cradle story, man.
Right.
Daddy worked and worked and worked and the kid never saw him. By the time Dad got retired, he goes, hey, now I'm ready to play, kid. The kid goes, sorry, Dad, I got my own kid and I'm busy working, working, working. And there's no time for you, so you better get it while you can. There's no doubt about that. When you decided to go out there and do this apartment deal, how hard was it for you to raise the capital at Lifestyles?
It was not difficult. It was not difficult through Lifestyles with the community and whatnot. So this is our fourth apartment deal, and honestly, we didn't have difficulty with any of them, even now. During this market, I don't think there's a place outside of Lifestyles that where we could have raised that easily. I hate to say easily because we put a ton of work into business plans and making sure everything, you know, was good.
Well, the resources are there to put in the time to network, to meet the people, did we have to do the work? Yes, but it's also, the community is built to a place where they were there. So they showed up for us when we needed them.
That's right.
Excellent.
That's right.
All right, we're going to take a short break. Then we'll come back. I've got a few more questions for you in the last segment. And be right back with Josh Victoria, Del Wamsley, and the radio show. Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Josh and Victoria Warren out of the San Antonio site area. This last segment here, we want to get into a little more personal stuff. You've got three kiddos. What are their ages?
Go for it.
Yeah, 25, 17, and 16.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm listening.
Yeah, so we are a blended family.
Okay.
When we met, Josh had two kids, I had one. We've been together since our daughter was 13 and our boys were 3 and 2. That's so cool. Yeah.
13 years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. There you go. I got the same thing at my house. We get the blended family thing going. All right, we put them in the blender. Chew them all up, throw some chocolate in, and we have Christmas, right? That's
pretty much it, yeah.
The way it works, huh? So what do the kiddos think about you guys doing this stuff? I can't call a 25-year-old guy kiddo.
Yeah, the 25-year-old is actually, she's a girl, and she's not as into it. Our 17-year-old is probably the most into it. He's actually come to the two-day with us and come to a lot of events we've been to. Mm-hmm. So he's definitely interested.
He asked the most questions.
He asked a lot of questions.
Helped out with the single family, helped out with that the most.
He's helped out with on some properties, manual labor stuff, putting them to work and all that. But yeah. So one out of three is ain't bad.
Have you talked to them about investing at all?
Yes. So, well, really the 17-year-old, he's talked to us about investing and kind of moving forward and, what that looks like. But yeah.
Yeah. He's looking at, colleges now and trying to figure out what he wants to do for a career. But in the back of his mind, he's always saying, in addition to real estate.
Yeah.
He understands that it's a tool that's going to help him. He can still do what he wants to do, but that he's still going to, rely or look back on real estate after seeing what we've done.
So you guys are still the believers in college. You both have degrees, I take it?
I actually do not have a degree. She does. I went to college, but did not finish. So, but she has a degree, and we wanted to go to college just to kind of find his way, get out and kind of find his way. But, We want that for him. And if he wants a job that is associated with having to have a degree, absolutely. We want that for the kids, but we also, more importantly, we want them to be kind of happy and healthy and learn how life really works. So
it's find their own path, what works for them.
Put them on the grindstone, make them push the rock for a few 10 years,
Exactly.
That'll straighten them out. it's such a weird thing that unless you've ever gone to work and got them work every day, day after day after day after day after day, one day you're like, maybe I should have looked into that stuff my parents were doing. Might look
exactly
different. I find that everybody's different. And you look at some of our members, and Victoria, because you're so close to everybody here at Lifestyles working here, we have like 3 parents that have already had their kids by the time they were 18 years old own an apartment complex. That's a bizarre concept.
Yeah.
So, absolutely.
I don't know. I'm not going anywhere with this. I just wanted to throw that out there for everybody that, hey, there's some strange stuff. Some parents push their kids, You could be Michael Jackson or you could be Sabrina the tennis player. You got some parents as kids, so they become superstars. And then mine, I left her alone, didn't do anything with her.
Yeah. And for us, like I said, we'll support what they want to do, especially if they want to, get into real estate. Absolutely. I think it's great.
Yeah. But we've also told them that we won't give it to them. So it's
absolutely
for them to create and to build, and we'll be there to support.
Right.
Just like with cars, with having jobs, it's important, they don't reap the benefits of how well we've done.
We're firm believers in supporting, but they've got to show the drive to actually do it themselves.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So let's go, out of that part of the social, issue. Let's go over to the other side of the social issue. The people around you. Were you surprised when you first joined Lifestyle how open everybody was?
Absolutely. The group, the membership, the family of Lifestyles is probably the greatest aspect of Lifestyles. I've been a member of different real estate investor groups before. And I've never seen a group like like lifestyles where everyone's willing to help, everyone's open. It's really a great organization that you built. So and thank you for that.
Yeah, so much that, I mean, we were both already out of our W-2 jobs and I went back to work for Lifestyle. So
yeah,
that's how much I enjoy being around it.
It's a pretty good gig working for a lazy old man. Right? That's the beautiful thing about working for me is you don't get that many calls. You're like, you know, are we getting this job done? I don't know. I haven't been yelled at for a while. I'm just not that kind of guy. It's like, hey, get it done. That's all there is to it. So that's good. You like that. So do you guys travel around the country and meet people in other places? Because you got properties in other places. Do you try to grow your reach, let's say, to the members in other cities, other states?
We definitely do. I would say the majority of our investors, our passives actually are out of the state of Texas. We have quite a few in Texas, but we have them from, we've been to Hawaii, San Diego, Indianapolis, obviously Georgia, obviously, Cincinnati area, and some others as well. You meet people from all over the country.
We do that with the Lifestyles Meetup. So they have them, you know, whenever we see that there's going to be one in an area that we haven't been to, we definitely hop on a plane and head that way.
Well, that's the best. Well, folks, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. And Victoria, thank you for all that you do for Lifestyles. Josh, congratulations. Keep growing. And the rest of you out there in this world, realize this. It's just not some money. It's a lifestyle. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.